The Wednesday Toolbox Show on Fix Radio, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Afternoon, I'm done, I'm spent, I'm cream crackered. But the great news is Alfie's project is pretty much there. For those that aren't familiar with it or up to speed, a 16-year-old boy in Ashford, Middlesex, suffering with neuroblastoma. Aaron Evans, another great trade. He spotted the, if you want to call it, the request on Facebook. We went in, saw the family, and rather than just redo Alfie's bedroom, we thought, while we're here, let's rip the kitchen to pieces. Pull the ceiling down, take the floor up, rewire, plumb, plaster, float set, decorate, hang a couple of doors, and we're done. Anyway, we started this on Thursday morning. Trades from all over the country, North Wales, Morecambe, Manchester, all came down, put themselves up locally. Pubs have put some of the lads up. And then all of the donations came in through materials, cakes from Greg's, you name it. And we're pretty much there. Pretty much worked through the night, 10, 11 o'clock some nights. But I tell you what, we're very nearly there. And I've got some even better news coming up in literally 2 minutes. As you heard before, Gun Song there, it was me talking about Alfie's project. The 16-year-old lad in Ashford, Middlesex. We've gone in and done up his home. And joining me on the line now is his mum, Shelley. Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
Now, we're nearly there, aren't we?
Yes.
Are you be pleased to get us out of the house, or is there a little bit of you that's going to miss all the fun and banter and noise and everything else that we brought along?
I am definitely going to miss the fun, the banter. It's been a real laugh actually listening to all you lot working away. It's been nice to see you all just getting on with it and getting along with each other. It's been nice.
I think the big thing is we've worked with each other a couple of times on previous projects, but I don't know if you noticed it. You know, some nights it was 10 o'clock, half 10 gone. Nobody was tired, and we were just trying to explain in the studio that I don't know where that comes from, if it's adrenaline or what it is. Were you surprised that, you know, we were still gooning around and working hard at half 10, 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah, but I also understood that obviously you guys were under pressure to get this done in such a short space of time, and it was a challenge for you all, and it was nice to see you actually complete a challenge for us.
It was a challenge, and we were sort of talking about it. If we were to price this up as a normal job, you're probably looking at 4 to 5 weeks and pretty much 5.5 days, give or take. It's done. We had a few issues, as you know, with drying times of bonding and plaster and tile adhesive, self-leveling, but somehow we're done. And is it sort of hit your expectations, or is it sort of slightly above? Is it more than you were really hoping for?
Way more, because at first it was just Alfie's bedroom. I wasn't expecting Alfie's bedroom to be done for nothing. I generally wanted quotes of how much it was going to cost, and over time we gradually would have got it done bit by bit, but that's what our aim was. And when you guys sort of said that you'd come in and do it all for nothing and then threw in the kitchen as well, you literally blew me away the day you said about the kitchen. And to see it all come together has been, it's been amazing. I had my emotional day the day you all first come in. It blew me away. There's so many people are willing to come together for half an effort.
Well, I've got to say, Alfie is a credit to you and the rest of the family. We were just saying most teenage boys mope about and all the rest of it, and bearing in mind what he's been through, he is a credit to your family. He is endearing, heartwarming. He's a lovely, lovely lad. And would you just like to tell everybody that the first night he slept in his new bed, apparently it was that comfy, his snoring was a bit of an issue.
Yes, we could hear him snoring while we was trying to go to sleep, because he never had no door and he dreamed the first night that he was in there. But to hear him snore is a sign that he's comfy, that he's happy. So it was a good thing hearing him snore. It was just nice to know that he was comfy and content.
Now, we obviously started on the Thursday. You were in and out the Marsden Ender last week. There's been some slightly better news than expected, possibly, on his latest set of results.
So on his previous two scans he had last year, they were showing that there was something new. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know whether it was information from something that had gone on or whether it was a new tumour. So he's literally been watched and observed for the past, well, from the beginning, when he first showed up, it was 6 months to now. On his scan on Wednesday, it shows that whatever this is shrinking. It's half the size of what it was when they first picked it up. So we are over the moon. It's just been an incredible weekend for us.
Well, one thing that I found overwhelming was the local community. You know, friends, neighbours, local chippies, calves, Greg's the bakers. I couldn't get over how, you know, we've had it on other projects, but everybody, even friends of the family popping round, noticing that we're a few kitchen door handles short, an hour later, they've turned up with them.
We've accumulated some really nice friends over the time of Alfie being poorly this time round, and it's just, you know, the support from them is incredible, and it means the world, you know, that all these people want to do this for us. It's heartwarming. It makes you emotional. It's making me quite teary now.
Well, it made us teary doing the work. We absolutely loved it. And, you know, as I say, when we were working into the dark and whatever time it was, I think one night we only just made last orders, but none of us were tired, is it? Adrenaline, as you say, there is a deadline. We've got to get it done. We can't string it out for weeks. But we enjoyed every minute so much so all the lads want to come down now in various parts of the country. They want to be back doing another project. What was the highlight, if there could be one pick from the last 5-6 days?
The highlight for me was the banter along the way. Us being included, like my two little boys, they were included, shooting you all through the dust curtain. And I suppose the morale of you lot, just wanting to keep going. And then the main highlight was just seeing you guys had actually done, how skilled you lot really are.
Well, I think you look at every single tradesperson that was there. One thing that really jumps out to me on these projects, there's no hierarchy, there's no order, there's nothing. If something needs doing, it doesn't matter if you're an electrician, if you're a chippy, plumber, plasterer, roofer, labourer, you just get on with it and do it. And I think that's the spirit where you think, right, we've got to be out of here soon. Right, what needs doing? What can I do? It's a totally different, if you like, feeling and the way that a job is run compared with a paid-for job.
That's one of the things that I actually said myself, that it was amazing to see you lot all come together and do someone, you know, finish someone else's thing that they'd started because they'd gone off to go and sort something else out. It was nice to see you all pitch in together and be part of a team rather than come in as your own individual trade.
Well, the big difference on pay-for jobs, you know, if a spark turns up and we're not ready for him, he will disappear until when he's free next, and that can delay the job by weeks. But, you know, we had an electrician, Nick, who you know. I've known him 12 years. He had dirt and dust on him. I mean, this is groundbreaking stuff. He was getting dirty, and rumour has it he had a broom at one stage.
You're all good guys. You all pitched in where needed, and, you know, for us as a family to watch that, it means everything, because it just... We're a team. You're a team. If you can work as a team, then we can work as a team. And I think we had to, living in a small front room while you overtook the home.
Well, we were very grateful for all the tea and coffee and everything else that you helped us along with. And just quickly looking back, it wasn't really that far off 3 weeks ago that Aaron and I came and saw you. And now it's done. No. Did you really think that we were going to do it? Or are you thinking these guys are actually dreaming a bit?
No, I believe that you would do it all the time. You said you was going to do it, so I stood by what you said.
Brilliant.
I had every faith in you.
Well, as you've seen, this Alfie and your family have touched all of us a hell of a lot. This is the beginning of a charity called Trial, Trades Rebuilding Your Homes and Lives. As I spoke to you earlier, you know, ITV are coming down and filming it for the news at 6 o'clock on Friday. BBC have been in touch with me. The Sun have been in touch. This has really, really touched us. It doesn't matter where we are in the country. As you know, people have travelled an awful long way. What we've done and how... You know, we've just adored Alfie and you guys. We want to start something now. And off the back of what we've done for you, we hope we can go out and help more people. And we would just like to thank you for giving us the opportunity, coming in, not just letting us work, but becoming part of it. You were really part of the atmosphere and it made it great, great fun.
Well, I want to thank you lot too, because you've touched us. You've changed our kitchen, you've changed Alfie's room, you've made things better for him, and I hope that from you all coming here and being part of our lives for a week, that it's not just for a week, you know. I think we've made quite good friendships with all of you, and I'd like that to continue. You're all welcome for a cup of tea whenever you are passing our road. You're welcome anytime.
Well, that's very kind of you, Shelley. The only problem, when you offer a trade a free cup of tea, we're going to be queuing up all day, every day, probably, because we don't get it on many jobs.
That's fine. That's great company.
Well, on behalf of every single person involved, I'd just like to say it's been an absolute pleasure carrying out the work on your house. Hand on my heart, you are an amazing family. We are quite sad at having to leave, but I really, really hope that you enjoy your new kitchen, and obviously Alfie enjoys that bedroom.
Thank you. We will be eternally grateful.
Shelley, thanks ever so much. We will see you Friday.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, emotional stuff, isn't it? That was Shelley, Alfie's mum. What an incredible family. What an incredible boy, 16-year-old lad. Everything he's been through with neuroblastoma, he's running around with a smile on his face, he's sleeping well in his new bed, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it's just made that little bit of difference for that lovely family.
The Wednesday Toolbox Show on Fix Radio, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
On the line, Aaron Evans, project lead, trade extraordinaire. Aaron, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. Not too bad at all.
So, nearly there. Could you give everyone an update? Little bits and pieces left?
Yeah, pretty much just sort of snagging now. Got the floor left to grout. I'll do that last thing. Just touching up some paintwork and a bit of cork work, bits and pieces like that. Slacked in another socket for him this morning. But, yeah, we're on the home straight now.
And what's your overall feeling from the job? Are you on a bit of a come down now? It's come to an end like all the other lads, or are you still sort of buzzing just because you're finishing off?
Well, a bit of both. I know it's coming to an end, but I'm still here, so it's not quite set in yet, but I know it ain't going to be long before it does. I've got to go back to real work tomorrow.
It's not a nice feeling, I must admit, getting up this morning. Love coming in here, but it isn't the same as being with you guys. And we've not just grafted, mate, we've had a great time doing it, haven't we?
I couldn't explain how much we've enjoyed it. It's been just tears of laughter the whole way through. It's been absolutely brilliant. I can't thank the lads enough for coming down.
Well, one thing I was going to say is I was just chatting with my guest, Peter Bull, who's going to be on in about 10-15 minutes. The only problem with this, you do put the rest of the world into sort of another room. You forget about it. Poor old Craig's had problems with his van. I've had a letter from Juicens saying your account's on stop and this and that. You tend to forget the real world, don't you, because you're so focused on things.
Yeah, everything else takes a back foot, doesn't it? It's, you got this is the party, really. Everything else can wait. But obviously, your life still has to go on. You've still got bills to pay.
What would you say the biggest issue we faced, mate, looking back?
I'd say, realistically, it's been drying times on everything. Mm. That's just set us back massively, all the way along the job. Mm. Like, from floor leveller to adhesive to paint to plaster, you know, it hasn't gone off when it was meant to. Like, not even talking a couple of minutes or half an hour, but hours and hours. and it's when the room's out of bounds and no one can get on in there, and on a time scale like we are, it's you just don't need it. It's set the jump back like at least a day, I'd say, just on drying times. It's like if I'm to see, what can you do? It's,
well, obviously we were working sort of into the night, not through the night, but into it. So we had moisture levels up. Certainly wasn't as warm. But I mean, the self-leveling we laid in the kitchen. You know, usually you're tiling on that in no time. What was it, 4 hours before we could get on it?
Yeah, pretty much. It should have been set within half an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But like you say, half a day gone because everyone's standing there to dry. There's five blokes standing around wanting to get a kitchen banged in, but they can't get in the room.
Well, maybe it was the moisture, maybe who knows what it was, but I think the great thing is we are nearly there now. Obviously you probably just heard us speaking to Shelley. The most important thing is Alfie, Shelley and the rest of the family seems to be happy. What if you could give a final message to all the lads involved, all the helpers, all the local community, what would you like to say to them, mate?
I can't thank people enough. Not just the boys. I mean, they know how grateful I am for coming down and doing this for us. But all the people that have donated all the materials and bits and pieces of food and stuff like that. It's, well, we've been looked after, properly looked after. And I've skipped donated for nothing. He's just come and taken that literally 10 minutes ago. Chucked the last load on there. And it is properly stacked as well. So we get level loads at about 6 foot high.
I thought we did quite well to get it that high, to be fair. Doors down the sides, M panels on top. I think, yeah, it wasn't say we got our money's worth, but they were donated.
Yeah. Everyone's been absolutely brilliant. I can't thank people enough, really. I mean, it wouldn't have happened without the likes of the lads that come down and all the, obviously all the material and stuff we got donated. Trying to do a project to this scale with a budget of like 480 quid. It's unbelievable what we've managed to achieve, and in the amount of time we've had to do it, it's out of this world. 450 hours went in over a weekend. When else does that happen? It's that sort of wake up at 8 in the morning, you're on site at 9:10 at night and no one's grumbling, everyone's just cracking on.
Well, that was a big thing, which unless you've been on these projects, you just can't get your head around. Everybody mucks in. It doesn't matter what your role is, what your trade is, what your job is. If there's something that needs doing, people just jump on it. You don't get that on normal paid-for jobs.
Oh, no. When you take money out of the equation, it's a totally different dynamic. You forget about who you are, what you do. You're just a general labourer, the same as everyone else, really. No one's got a specific job. We had five people tiling a wall at one point. It's just random stuff you'd never get anywhere else. Can't really explain it.
Well, it's, as you say, it is a one-off, although hopefully not, because, you know, this charity trial, Trades Rebuilding Your Homes and Lives, which we're going to be setting up now, certainly off the back of this, applying for charity status. The great news is ITV will all being well, unless a massive story breaks, will be filming the reveal on Friday, which is only good for building the awareness of not just the charity, but more importantly, you know, raising the awareness of this awful illness, cancer in kids. And there are, you know, charities such as us out there that are going to go and help them.
Exactly. That's what it's about really now, isn't it? We've got this one done and out of the way. Let's start thinking big. Let's make something happen. See if we can help. Oh, God knows, dozens more, hundreds more families out.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it is the beginning. And, you know, we've talked about this until whatever time in the morning with a beer. And, you know, we're aware that, you know, I believe what we've got here is not just a great bunch of lads. It's growing by the minute. It's clear that a lot of the big boys are willing to donate. And I think, you know, if we, as you say, if we can go out there and help a few more youngsters and their families and certainly repeat the fun and games we've had, then I cannot wait. But Aaron Evans, you are a living legend, my friend. The work, the hours, the graft you've put in, and also scaring a big lad from the north with a little spider. Fair play, mate. It is on video, and we will be putting that on the Fix Radio website and social media, because I'm still looking at it for the 100th time, laughing my head off, mate. Great to have you on. I'll let you go and finish off, and I'll see you Friday.
Thanks a lot, mate.
All right. Take care. Cheers, Aaron.
Cheers.
Arrested Development on Fix Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Andy Stevens. It's coming up to 3:15. Straight back to Peter. He's got his glass of water. Peter, you feeling better?
I now know how Theresa May felt when she started to cough during a speech.
Can you dance like her, though?
I don't think so.
You won't be as bad as that. What a shamble she was. Bless her.
Anyway, I feel great now. Thanks very much for
the
water.
No problem. Now, back to this idea that, the idea that you came up. You've got a brilliant pack which helps tradespeople, builders, contractors about what I call the back-end stuff that we're not great at. Can you take us through it?
Well, basically, I've split it into three elements: marketing, operations, and the financial side. The point about the marketing is it's to try and help builders to realise that the secret of their marketing is not so much... They've got lots and lots and lots of very expensive work, but very few clients. So it's all about building relationships with clients. Advertising and even social media, although it has a place, is not really the way of getting the better value jobs. You always get jobs, but you want jobs that pay you properly. So learning to develop a relationship with clients is the key.
I think you've hit a nail on the head. From my experience, it's, anyone can stick something up on social media and, the old days, the local paper, but it's the quality, isn't it? You don't want to take any job. There's a lot of very smaller trade bodies out there. They're getting people to pay money for membership, but you just get the leads are just almost pointless. You want the right clients that are going to pay the right money to make your job worthwhile.
I absolutely agree. And the secret to this, it obviously, is word and mouth marketing and recommendations. This is the key. And in my program, I try and help people to learn how to get quality recommendations. I mean, anyone can do a job at a loss. That's very easy. Anybody can do that. But to do a job and earn, and remember that the same job pays different amounts depending on who you're doing it for. There's no fixed amount for a building job. It depends who you're working for and the kind of people you're working for. So what my funnel is really to get people away from the idea of competing on cost, on price, and getting them to compete on reliability and quality. This is the trick. Because, as I say, you'll always get people, find people who do it cheaper. But it's whether it's the same specification, whether it's the same quality is the key. And so I'm really a great believer in this. Most builders should be earning a lot more than they are, actually.
You're right. And I think a phrase was sent round on some form of social media that I saw, basically saying, you're paying for my experience, not your budget. Yeah. And I thought that summed it up perfectly. It's all very well somebody saying, this is the work we want doing, and you give them an estimate, let's say $45,000 plus VAT, and they say, well, we've only got a budget of 30. Mm. Well, you can't have the work done. But sadly, as you say, somebody will do it.
Yeah.
And that's suddenly your profits are coming down because you've got to compete with that.
The problem is, as an industry, we're unregulated in the sense. Now, that has its good side, but it also has its bad side in the sense that we've got no cartel or any way of controlling prices. So someone can come along and do the thing at a tenth the price that it's really worth, and people will pay them because people see the price before they see the job. They judge the job on the price when actually it's the job that they should be judging, because in terms of value, often the more expensive price, you get a better value for the money you're spending. But if people only ever look on price, they're going to end up having rubbish job, and then they're going to blame the builder when in real, perhaps the builder should get it right. But the point is that you get what you pay for. This is the thing about the building trade. You get what you pay for.
How do we go about educating customers that this is the right way? Because I've been part of tendering processes where you see prices 30, 50, 92, all for the same work. And rightly so, the customer's sitting there scratching their head thinking, where do I even begin to start? Is it down to us as a builder, as a contractor, to try and educate customers that you need to look at, first of all, get a like for like? And that's, I always emphasise that. There's no point getting three prices if it's not exactly the same spec.
No.
But then also comparing the quality and the value of what you're getting.
Well, it's quite interesting. If you are a customer and they call you as a builder and you do these following things: number one, you answer the phone; number two, you go around when you say you're going to go around and look at the job; and number three, you actually put an estimate in. You could probably put an estimate in about 40% higher, because out of the people they've asked, you're probably the only one that's done all that. You see, the builders are kind of their own worst enemy sometimes, and the bad ones give it a bad name for everybody else. And there's a lot of very, very, very good builders out there, and the trouble is the press, I'm afraid, are not talking about them. They're talking about the jobs that went wrong, not the jobs that went right. And this is what we need to do to it's not educating the customer, it's educating society, it's educating the press, it's educating the media. They're the people who need educating, because they've just got it all wrong, in my opinion, completely wrong.
But we talked about this before. This is where bad news sells papers.
Yeah.
And you know, it's been great to have, you know, big media owners, you know, ITV, BBC, The Sun, various others that are looking to help follow this project that we've done for Alfie.
Yeah.
Because, do you know what? It's a bit of good news. I'm just surely whipped with Brexit and doom and gloom, and it's about time people start reading a bit of decent news. And maybe this industry needs to have its ideology, the way people think about us changed, that we're a good industry and we produce an awful lot of good work.
Yeah, I think I couldn't agree more. We really need to show the world, and I think this project with Alfie has done that, quite apart from what it's done for Alfie and the family. I think it's showing the world that, you know, builders are caring, decent people. Remember, at the end of the day, builders are human beings like everyone else. They're not a breed apart. They've come from Mars or something. They're real human beings, and so therefore you get bad ones, you get bad in every industry, but there's a lot of good ones out there, and you just have to look around at some of the excellent building work that's done in this country, and you know, it's very, very good, and you know, it shouldn't be underestimated, certainly not by society as a whole.
Thank you, Peter. We'll be back in a second.
The Wednesday Toolbox Show on Fix Radio, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Peter.
Hi.
Now, just want to go through the information that you've kindly put together. Can you give your email address and also what people can get from, you know, I've had a quick look through it. It's a brilliant bit of kit, and it's really helpful.
Well, what I've tried to do is make it very, very short and simple, you know, especially for startups, you know, just going into the trade. So anyway, my email address is thebestsolution@icloud.com, thebestsolution@icloud.com. And if everyone would like a free copy of this, I'll gladly send them one. And just send me an email and say, I'd like a free copy, mention Fix Radio, and I'll know what it's all about, and I'll send them one. But I've broken it into, as I say, not just about marketing, but operations, how to do the initial visit when you go and look at a job, because obviously there's two types of job that's considered an emergency. Well, you know, with a background in bricklaying and carpentry, I'm in the considered estimate. I'm not sort of going to stop your leak or break into your house. So break into your house, I wouldn't do that anyway. But what I mean is, you know, as a locksmith, yeah, to get into someone's house. So you know, it's all about doing a good estimate, pricing it correctly, pricing it so you make a good profit, and presenting the estimate in a way that people are, you know, going to be attracted to it and not going to think, oh no. Because, you know, I always think the more detail you give in the pricing and the way you do it, the less people are going to focus on the price. If the less you tell them, the more they focus on the price.
What's the worst mistake people starting out make with estimates? Would you say it's not detailed enough, or they go overboard and literally confuse people using terminology like half inch square edge PB that people may not necessarily understand?
The worst mistakes for startups is they guess it. They don't do an estimate at all. They've got no understanding of estimating, because you see, being good at a trade doesn't mean you're good at anything else around the industry. So and often startups, you know, they haven't actually had any experience of running a business. So what I always say, if you are a startup in your first year, don't take on huge projects. Keep the project small and learn how to run the business. Once you learn how to run the business, then you can slowly scale, as they say these days, expand and get bigger and bigger jobs. This is it. The biggest problem is people run out of money. It's a cash flow problem, that they've got plenty of people on their books, but they don't know how to estimate, or they suddenly got two or three jobs running concurrently. They haven't learned how to employ people, how to get the right people around them. So they go from a sole trader to a limited company running three or four jobs, and they go bust, because that stage has to be done gently. It's not something you can just suddenly turn from one kind of individual into another. So, yeah.
Well, there's one thing I'm seeing in my area, and I hope it's not going to continue. A lot of contractors that have been around a long, long time, not just a few years, but, you know, decades, they're binning the bigger jobs and just focusing on smaller jobs, a bathroom, bit of landscaping, whatever their sort of, if you like, preferred trade is, because a lot of people are saying the stress and the fact that the money isn't there in the bigger jobs.
There isn't, no, no.
It's a worry, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. The biggest problem is the middle-sized builder. The big contractors are okay because they're backed by vast, vast sums of money, and the small individual tradesperson is okay. But when you move, when you go up to the next level from being a sole trader, doing one job at a time, in other words, exchanging your time for money, to being a business, then it's a whole different skill set. And a lot of builders don't appreciate this. They think, well, I'm a good bricklayer, why can't I run a bricklaying business? Well, being a good bricklayer, running a bricklaying business are very, very different things, you know. And so what I'm trying to do is to bridge the gap to a certain extent with where I train and things like that.
Well, one thing a couple of customers that I know well have said to me is, whilst you've taken more work on, or you're doing other bits and pieces, you're not visible. And it's about educating them that just because we're working for you, it doesn't mean I'm going to be here from 7:30 in the morning to whatever time at night. But again, having not had that education, that learning, it didn't even cross my mind that they're expecting that, and I needed to address that before I started.
Yeah.
It's going into this, maybe having one or two jobs on the go, but not being there as much. Customers need to understand, just because you're not there doesn't mean everything stops.
Well, you see, it's all about this business of relationships. Now, we get our work by good relationships. Now, what I mean by that is that if we, rather than, as I say, spending an awful lot of money and time on promoting and advertising and all the rest of it, people get to know us. They get to know us personally through other people who've worked for. So that's the word of mouth marketing. The trouble is, when they get to know us, they want us there all the time. You know, they want to feel, as soon as you bring other people in, other trades in and things, they feel they've lost that personal relationship. So this is the trick, to keep that relationship going. And the key thing I would say to any builder out there, the secret to the whole thing is communication. Keep the customer communicate with them. If you've got to go off the job, that something else cropped up, most customers are pretty good about that, as long as you tell them. But if you don't say anything to them, they come in the morning, oh, where's that builder gone? He's done this and he's disappeared and I can't get hold of him. That's what drives customers mad. It's not the actual building work, it's the reliability. I think reliability is more important than quality when with the customer. That's their first thing, is reliability.
I think, as you say, if you are elsewhere, even if it's a personal issue or another job or anything, as long as they're kept up to speed with it.
Absolutely.
He's not going to be in at 7:30, it'll be 9 today or 10.
No, people are very understanding. They know you've got your life to lead as well, but they like to be let them know.
So let's jump back. We've got all the training courses, the colleges, the MVQs. I know we've talked about it before, but surely what we're discussing needs to be in part of a level 1, 2, 3 in each trade, because you may come out as the best bricklayer in town, but when you go on your own, because most people will probably want to start their own thing up in time, you haven't got two clues about how to run a business. As you say, you go bust.
That's right. 70% of builders who train, do an apprenticeship, will at some times be self-employed or partially self-employed in their career. 70%. And they get, as far as I can see, they get no training. Sometimes colleges will run courses for, you know, business, but they don't integrate it into the basic apprenticeship. It should be started on day one. The day they start to learn to lay bricks, they learn how to be a bricklaying business. That's the key.
It is the key. We've just quickly on apprenticeships. Do you feel it's government or it's federations or colleges or other people, media, where we've got to get more people using hands? I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, is it level 3 plastering? You barely touch a trowel.
A level 2, I think, you do, but I mean, there's so much emphasis on other stuff, you know, using the computer and filling out forms and health and safety, which is all important. I don't want to underestimate the value of health and safety, but the amount you actually do in terms of, you know, being assessed on your plastering skill is not that much, actually, even in the level 2. I can't comment so much about level 3, but certainly level 2.
But you look at this and you think, different backgrounds for drying times. You know, you might have a wall with 5 different materials on that wall. If you're in an old house, you could have everything: sanded cement, bonding, tile adhesive, paint, plasterboard. You might be able to stick it on the wall and trowel it up, but is somebody going to know that every single different materials have got different drying times? They're going to take the moisture out quicker. Chances are they're not. Are we still in the dark ages, do you think?
Well, I think we are a bit. I mean, if you take, for example, lime mortar. Now, lime mortar, the thing about lime mortar is that it's reversible, that you add water to lime mortar, even if it's been there 100 years, and it will go soft. So what they used to do in the old days is they put clinker in it to make it harder. But the point is, you know, if you repoint with cement mortar or cement and lime mortar, which is the modern way, and you haven't cleaned out those joints properly, the lime mortar behind it is going to blow it, and the whole lot's going to fall out. You know, things like that. I think materials change, times change, and obviously we've got to keep up with the changes. But it's all about building knowledge and building confidence and experience in every area of the industry, really.
Just a quick one before the break. We were talking about it on a job we're doing recently, wet rooms.
Yeah.
Which, wet rooms, they leak. Doesn't matter what you do in our game. If you do it properly, flat roofs, wet rooms, whatever, it won't leak and it will last a long, long time. However, there's all these new materials and products coming out, tanking, waterproofing, you know, rubber matting. Is that encouraging poor workmanship? Because quite honestly, if your tiling or your roofing, whatever you're doing, is done properly with the correct materials, not the new modern ones, you won't have a problem.
Exactly. What they're relying on, a lot of these new products, is people's fear and bad media, you know, broadcasting. So if we have a thing like, I don't know, one of these programs about lousy builders, I can't even think of the name, I don't even want to mention the name because I don't like it, but you know, if they're going to constantly concentrate on that, they say, oh well, of course the wet room's leaked, that's because they've done this. As you say, it's done properly, you can use very traditional materials and it works. So the idea that suddenly you've got to come up with something new every time a builder makes a mistake is not the answer, I don't think.
You think years ago tiles were bedded on sand and cement. I mean, even now, trying to get them up in old houses, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas now, we've been doing this wet room, putting this fancy water. This is another thing. We'll talk about this another week. But just quickly, I want to get your thoughts. These new materials are not designed and tested by people on the tools. And I can vouch for every single one of these products and give a damn good reason or several why. This wet room, this tanking kit, it kicks out. So where your floor meets your wall, rather than having a perfect right angle, where it meets, you've got like a curved effect.
Yeah.
And also it protrudes more, so your tiles are automatically kicked out at the bottom. And I can guarantee the person that's invented this, he doesn't know what a trowel is.
No, I know. That's the problem, that there's a disconnect between the people who are doing the research on these things and the actual practical use of them. And although it might look very good in a lab, things work very good in a lab, when you actually get it out there on site with real life builders doing it, it's not practical, it's impractical. But, you know, this is the way. People always think you've got to change everything to make things better. Sometimes you do, but it's not always the case. There's some old traditional methods that have worked for thousands of years and they still work today. And they're often easier to do anyway than these stuff.
Easier, quicker, and cheaper. Peter, thanks for the moment.
Thank you.
Time's flying. Not long left. Now, we got just under 15 minutes left. First of all, just like to say, go and have a quick look at the old FMB website. They do an awful lot, which you're probably unaware of as a member. There's free legal advice. There's a 24-hour helpline which you can help with, give you help with advice, any problems on a job. Free contracts. There's a taxation line. You get a monthly magazine. Get invited to all sorts of industry do's. So definitely go and have a look on that, fmb.org.uk. Got to say, worth a quick look. Now, usually this time of day, I have the old rant. And you're probably thinking, what's he going to moan about this week? Well, the reality is, I'm not. And there's a strong reason for that. We have just done, Group of Trades, as you know, we have just done a brilliant project for a young lad called Alfie, pretty much there. And I thought, let's promote our industry. There's no point in me sitting there having a moan up when we've done such a good thing. Don't you worry, next week I will be all singing, all dancing. So I'd just like to thank all the people and companies which donated, which made this project possible. Without them, it wouldn't have happened. All very last minute, bearing in mind this has been planned, executed and finished in just under 3 weeks. Howdens in Woking, a massive thanks to them. I went in having been let down by another supplier just on lead times, that was all. They've pulled it out of the bag. There was the kitchen, it was the sink, taps, worktops, the lot. We went back for a couple of bits and they helped us out. So Howdens in Woking, thank you. Jewson's Walton on Thames, again, thank you to you. You supplied all the sheet materials, the 2x2 timber for the bespoke bed, the fitted wardrobes you made, and his desk. And a few bits and pieces boxing in the kitchen. So a huge thanks for you. Brewers, all the decorating bits. Again, thanks. That's what makes it look all nice at the end. Couldn't have done it without you. Weber for the floor adhesive and grout. Now the important stuff. Greg's Donuts and Cakes and Jack's Fish and Chip Shop in Shepparton, who kept all these trades fed and watered throughout the whole job. It was brilliant, brilliant to be part of. I absolutely buzzed off it. We all did. We went in Thursday morning. We kept going. We kept going. There were a few cheeky pints. We just had in time at the end of each day before last orders. And let's talk about how great this industry is. Yes, there's all the stuff in the press about how bad it is and also about cowboys and all the rest of it. At the end of the day, I believe we work in the best industry. We have the best people, and that is proved by these projects where people are coming down from all over the country, putting themselves out, losing money for a day or two's work and not getting paid for a project. But it gives them the opportunity to give something back to the community or to people that need it, such as Alfie and his family. So a massive thanks to absolutely every trade involved. AD Clark just sent a message in. He's come down from Wrexham. 5-hour journey it took him coming down on the Thursday. He's hopefully going to pop back down for a beer on the Friday. He's done many projects across the country, done huge amount on DIY, SOS, Band of Builders, to name but a few. All the guys on this project, heart of gold, and seriously, you cannot explain the buzz and the enjoyment we got out of doing this. And the big thing for me, we've helped somebody out that needs it. And we heard from Shelley's mum earlier, Alfie's first night in his new bed, he was snoring the place down. So it's great to hear that he's settling in and she is enjoying her kitchen. It is now just gone 10 to 4. Coming up, there is obviously the comedy hour at 5. It's brilliant, isn't it? We've got all sorts going, all the greatest comedians coming on. We've had Ricky Gervais, Mickey Flanagan, absolutely loads of them. Listen to that. That is definitely not worth missing. Trev and Ben, they are back in the morning from 7 on the Full Fix Breakfast. Hear what antics they're getting up to. And they've been getting a bit tetchy, haven't they, recently? If you heard them, great to listen to first thing in the morning. And, Ben keeps going on about his teapot, doesn't he? I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I'm certainly never going to use it.
The Wednesday Toolbox Show on Fix Radio, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.